Matthew chapter 13 is the part of God's Word that we turn to and read this evening. Matthew chapter 13. We will read tonight the first 23 verses of the chapter. The text for the sermon are the verses that deal with the parable that Jesus speaks in these verses. Verses 3 through 8, and then the interpretation, verses 18 through 23. We will, of course, then only read this one time in light of the length of the text. This is God's word in Matthew chapter 13. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, and also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. We'll read the word of God that far. As I said, the text are those verses specifically about the parable of the sower, seed, and the soils. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, a couple of weeks ago, last time I preached at night, we finished a series of sermons on Saved by Grace and finished a treatment of the order of salvation. What that means right now is that we are in between series of sermons. For your information, I don't intend to go back to the prophet Elijah. Instead, I'm in the middle of some preparations for likely what will be a series on one of the Old Testament minor prophets. And so while those preparations are being made for that series, I intend to preach a few isolated texts in between series. Tonight, we consider this text, a parable of the Lord Jesus Christ, the parable of the sower, the seeds, and the soil. This is one of the most important parables in the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's one of the most important for several reasons. One of the reasons is that it is in the context of this parable that Jesus explains why he taught during his earthly ministry in parables. We read that the disciples asked him in verse 10, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And though much more is said in answer to that question, the basic answer is verse 21, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." The purpose of teaching in miracles is to teach about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The word mysteries refers to that which was hidden, but now revealed. So not mysteries in the way that we normally think of it in literature today, but mysteries as that which was once hidden, but now revealed. And God has revealed to his people the truth of the kingdom of heaven. It would be hidden to us apart from God's work to reveal it. To reveal it in the scriptures and to reveal it by opening our ears and opening our eyes so that we hear it and so that we see it and so that we believe it. The purpose of the miracles is to teach about the spiritual reality of the kingdom of heaven. Second reason that this is an especially important parable is that it is one of two parables that Jesus gives the interpretation of himself. Most parables are not that way. The parable is simply taught by Jesus. The story of the parable is explained. And it's left to the hearer, to the reader, to interpret that parable. The significance of this parable and the one that follows it in Matthew 13 is that Jesus himself tells us exactly how to interpret it. And that's significant because it gives us the framework for interpreting parables. Parables are admittedly difficult to interpret. And the reason for that is they are stories. And you have to ask the question, what part of the story corresponds to a spiritual reality? And this parable, with Jesus' interpretation, teaches us that what we need to do when we are faced with a parable is find the main ideas, the main elements of the story. Not the obscure things that are just part of the story, but the main part of the story. And from the main part, draw the main spiritual corresponding truth. The point, very simply right now, is that this is a very important parable because it helps us understand how to interpret all of Jesus' parables. And we know from reading the Gospels how often Jesus taught in parables. And then in the third place, this is an especially important parable simply because of the content. The content teaches us about the Word of God as it is preached. And God's purpose in that preaching of the Word and the effect of that preaching of the Word. And we know that on this side of the new heaven and new earth, there is nothing more important than the preaching of the Word of God. And this is what happens in time and history when the Word of God is preached. Some hear it, and do not bear fruit. Others hear it, and by the grace of God bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. It's incredibly important because it helps us understand what is going on in the church and on the mission field when the Word of God is preached. Let's consider tonight the parable of the sower, seed, and soils. We'll consider these three points: the story of the parable, the meaning of the parable, and the hearing of the parable. The story, the meaning, and the hearing of the parable that teaches us about the soil, the seed, and the sower. Parables are stories. Stories taken from earthly realities. And the wonderful thing about Jesus' parables is that the stories themselves are very, very simple. Now, the story itself is simple. Not the spiritual truth that is taught therein. While that spiritual truth may have a certain simplicity to it, at the same time, there is a tremendous depth to it, as every spiritual truth has contained in it tremendous depth. But the story itself is very, very straightforward. And we read it. And therefore, we're going to restate it, but we're going to restate it briefly. And so this first point of the sermon is going to be relatively brief. The story of this parable is that of a sower who goes out into the field to sow his seed. So at the time of Jesus, what you have in your mind's eye is a farmer. He has a bag that is over his shoulder, and in that bag are the seed. And what that farmer does is he walks around and he walks through his field, and he pulls the seed out of his bag and he throws that seed out in front of him. And he throws it in such a way that it spreads out over the ground as he walks around and through the field. And so as the farmer sows that seed in that way, that seed naturally falls in many different places. And Jesus teaches us that that seed of the farmer falls on four distinct types of ground. And when it falls on those four distinct types of ground, the result of that is different depending on where the seed falls. Clearly in the parable, there are four distinct places the seed falls, but we can right at the outset of the sermon, because this becomes pertinent later, indicate that there are really only two types of places the seed falls. Four distinctly in the parable, but broadly categorized, there are really only two. And the two are these. On the one hand, there are the places that the result of which is fruit. This is what the parable is all about. It comes down to fruit. Some don't bear fruit. That's three of them in the parable. And the fourth, the second broad category, is where the seed falls so that it actually bears fruit. Four distinct soils, but two broad categories. No fruit, fruit. And so let's finish the story by explaining where the seed falls. Jesus says that some of the seed falls by the wayside. And the wayside, very simply, are the very hard paths that don't have any soil on it that naturally some of the seed would fall on. As the farmer walks on those paths, spreads his seed into the field, naturally some of it falls down on the wayside, the path that he's walking on. And Jesus says when that happens, what happens is the birds come down, follow that farmer, and immediately they feast on that seed as it falls on the hard wayside. The second place that the seed falls is, as we read in the parable, Verse 5, some fell on stony places. Now the stony places of verse 5 are the places where there is some dirt, but it's very, very thin. So that the stony place refers to the hard rock that is not very far underneath the surface. So that when the seed falls upon that type of ground, the little dirt that is there causes something to come forth. But Jesus explains that when the elements hit that seed, because there is no roots on account of that stony earth underneath the ground, immediately it scorches up and it withers away. And so that's the idea, especially of the stony ground, not necessarily dirt in which there are stones, but the hard surface right underneath, just the little layer of dirt. The third place that the parable describes are the place where there are thorns. And here, the soil looks good. The seed lands on that part of the soil. And because there's dirt, it starts to bear some resemblance of life. The plant does. But the problem with this particular soil is that there's something else there. And not just something else there, but something else there in greater abundance. And that's the weeds, the thorns, and the thistles. So that though some of the seed starts to grow, it really, in the end, will not bear fruit because it's overtaken by the thistles and the thorns. All three of those, what is the end? No fruit. And in contrast to that is the fourth. And the fourth is good soil. The good soil where the seed falls. And when that good soil receives that seed, the result of that is good deep roots. The plant grows. And the end result is fruit. And interestingly, as we'll talk about a little bit later, Jesus says that when it bears fruit, every plant is not the same. Some bear fruit 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Very, very basic idea expressed in the story of the parable itself. And so that leads us to consider what is the meaning of this parable. And the meaning of this parable can be described under three main headings in this second point. We're going to explain what the sowing of the seed is first. We're going to explain who the sower is second. And then we're going to explain in the third place the different types of soils and the result of the seed falling on those types of soils. We start by explaining what is the sowing of the seed, and we start that by making the main point right at the beginning. The sowing of the seed, beloved, is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The seed is the Word. It is the Word of God. This parable is also taught in Mark as well as in Luke. And so I'm going to be referencing a few things in particular from the parallel passages. And this is one of them. Here in Matthew, we read that it is the word of the kingdom. But in Luke's account of this parable, we read distinctly these words: the seed is the word of God. But from the parable, we know that it's not just the Word of God as it is written, but from the parable we know that it is the Word of God as it is preached. In particular, that is the focus of what Jesus is talking about. Because in Jesus' explanation of the parable, repeated in each of the types of soils is the specific language of the one who hears the Word of God. so that the emphasis falls on the preaching of God's word. The sowing of the seed is the preaching of the word of God, such that those who sit under that preaching hear the word of the gospel proclaimed. That seed is described in the three passages that have this parable in three distinct ways. The seed which describes for us the content of that preaching. Not three contradictory ways, but three ways that have a distinct emphasis. In Mark, the seed is described very simply as the word, period. The seed is the word. And right there, we see the heart of what preaching is. What preaching is the bringing, the expounding, and the applying of the word. The 66 books of the Old and New Testament. In Luke, there's something added. And what is added in the account in Luke is that it is the word of God. What is preached is the word of God. It's the word of God because God is the author and the source of that word. When the 66 books of the Bible are expounded and applied, what is being expounded and applied is the word that God inspired. By His Spirit, He breathed forth His living Word so that when we read the Scriptures and hear them explained, we are hearing the very Word of the living God, the God who is the one only true God of heaven and earth. And it's the Word of God, we can say, because it is the Word that has as its content God Himself. Whenever the Scriptures are expounded in the preaching, what you are hearing about is God, which is why there must always be the most utmost seriousness and weightiness to preaching. Because no matter what preaching is on, preaching is explaining who God is. Because the entirety of His Word has Himself as that main content. And now we can drive that home more specifically and say who God is as He is revealed in His Son, Jesus Christ. When Christ is proclaimed, through Christ, we know the one true living God of heaven and earth. And then, in Matthew's account, that seed is described as the word of the kingdom. We read in verse 19 of the chapter that we read, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. So see those three things again in summary. One account says the seed is the word that's preached. The second account says that it's the word of God that is preached. This account in Matthew says that it is the word of the kingdom that is preached. The content of the preaching of the gospel is the kingdom. Jesus in Matthew 24, verse 14, says that this is one of the signs of His return. We can even say the main sign of His return. And when this gospel of the kingdom is proclaimed, then the end shall come. Gospel preaching is the preaching of the kingdom. And then the end will come. When the word of God is faithfully expounded, the kingdom is expounded. The kingdom, which is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We don't have time for an extended treatment of the kingdom tonight. But this in summary form is the kingdom as it is faithfully expounded from the Scriptures. Jesus Christ is king of that kingdom and reigns and rules. Jesus Christ is the one who established the kingdom by means of His coming, His death, and resurrection from the dead and ascension into heaven where He sits at God's right hand. When Jesus Christ accomplished that work that he was sent to do, the kingdom was established because in the cross and in the resurrection, he defeated sin and therefore death and therefore Satan himself. Jesus Christ reigns, Jesus Christ established, Jesus Christ gathers and preserves and defends his kingdom. He gathers into his kingdom his elect children so that they submit to the rule of King Jesus, who rules by his grace over his people, and promises in his love for them to defend them and protect them until the day when he finally realizes the end of that kingdom in the new heaven and new earth. The sowing of the seed is the preaching of the word of God, the word of the kingdom. That is to say, it is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the second place, we consider that the sower is Christ himself. When we say that the sower is Christ himself, we say that based upon what the Word of God teaches about the preaching of the gospel. What the Word of God teaches regarding the preaching of the gospel is that when the gospel is preached, the one whose voice you are hearing, and thus the one whose power it is in that preaching, is Jesus Christ. So that when we think about this sower, and him sowing the seed in the preaching of the gospel, our mind does not first go to the preacher. We'll go there in a moment. But our mind first goes to Christ. Christ sows the seed in the preaching of the gospel because in the preaching of the gospel, the voice you hear in faithful preaching is that of Christ himself. To demonstrate that, I call your attention to just two things in that regard. Much more could be said about this, but two things that point to the fact that the sower is Christ because the preaching is the voice of Jesus. Number one, consider what a preacher is by definition. A preacher by definition is a herald. And a herald is one who is sent by the king to do one simple task. Give the message of the king. In ancient days, when the king would send his herald, for example, to another city, that herald would go, and he would go to that other city, and he would say one thing, precisely what the king told him to say, so that when the people heard it, it was as though they were hearing the king himself. That, by definition, is what a preacher is. Give the message of the king. And the message of the king is the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel being in Jesus Christ alone, there is full and free forgiveness of our sins. In the second place, you can consider a passage like Romans chapter 10. Romans 10, 10 through 13, which talks about the fact that God calls a man to be a preacher of the gospel. And that when you hear the preacher of the gospel, you are hearing Christ himself. I'll demonstrate that explicitly from Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses, especially 13 and following. I said 10 through 13, that's not right. 13 and following. Our focus here is on verse 14, where we read, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?" And we need to remember, when we read that verse, literally what we read there is not "of whom," but what we read there is "whom they have not heard." And that little difference makes all the difference in the world as to what preaching is. Preaching is not just hearing about Jesus. Preaching is hearing Jesus himself. That's the point of Romans 10. When Jesus calls a man to be a preacher, they don't just talk about Christ. But when a man is lawfully called by God, what you are hearing is the very voice of Christ himself. So that when we consider the parable, the sowing of the seed is the preaching of the gospel, and the sower himself fundamentally is Christ, as Christ sends forth preachers who herald the gospel of the kingdom. And one of the main points that we can derive from the parable is that when Jesus does that, he sovereignly determines where the seed is going to be sown. That's one of the things that you can see in the parable. The sower himself is sowing the seed. He's walking through. He's walking around his field. He's throwing the seed where he sees fit to throw it and spread it. And Christ sovereignly determines through preachers where that seed is going to be sown. You can see how that is the case from a broadly historical perspective as you think about it from a big picture point of view. It was Christ who determined the big picture spread of the gospel throughout the ages, where that white horse galloped through the centuries, starting in Jerusalem with the pouring out of the Spirit through Asia Minor, into Europe westward, into North America, and now in this late date in history, as that gospel spread westward, it's going to the four corners of the world as we think about South America and Africa and the eastern countries and islands. Jesus determined and is determining as the sower where the seed of his gospel would be spread. And a point of application, very, very briefly, is that we praise God and thank God, because it's entirely of his sovereign will and grace that we are among those who, by his grace, are part of those who hear the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can also think about this from a more narrow perspective, that Jesus more specifically and personally determines where the seed is going to be sown. Tonight we heard, before prayer, the announcement of the acceptance of a call. Every time you hear about a man getting a call, declining a call, accepting a call to a church or to a mission field, what you have going on there is Jesus Christ at work, sovereignly determining where the seed of the gospel would be sown. The sower is Christ through preachers. The seed, as it is sown, is the word of God as it is proclaimed. And now we get to the heart of it. The four different places that it falls upon are meant in the parable to describe those who hear that gospel as it is preached, and the effect of that gospel as it is preached, and the result of that gospel as it is preached upon those who hear it. That's the point of the four distinct types of soil. The word of the gospel goes forth, and Jesus is teaching us in this parable what's going to happen thereafter. This is the value of the parable. This is seen as well in the interlude between the parable itself and the interpretation. The word was being proclaimed by Jesus. There were those in his day, the Pharisees of the day, who heard that word, but they rejected that word. They wanted nothing to do with it. And then you think about throughout all of history, and you think about today, in the Church of Jesus Christ in 2021, what Jesus is teaching us in this parable is that this is what happens when the Word of God is preached. It is like some falling on the wayside, some among the stony ground, some among the thorns and thistles, and others upon the good ground. What we're going to do now is explain each of those in order and conclude our explanation with the deepest reason why this is the effect of the preaching of God's Word. Let's start with the wayside. The wayside, we read this in verse 19 of the parable. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is which is received seed by the wayside. What Jesus is teaching us here is that for some, when they hear the word of the gospel, they don't understand it. And the idea of that in the text is not that they don't understand it intellectually. That should never be the case, because the word of the gospel is very simple. And a preacher must make it very simple. There are many passages and truths that require careful explanation, deep explanation. But the heart of the gospel of the kingdom is simple, and it's not on account of intellectually not understanding it. That's not what the passage is teaching. When the text says that they don't understand it, the idea is they don't believe it. They immediately reject it. They want nothing to do with it. And so, as we have it in the text, it's like the hard wayside. And Jesus says that Satan himself comes down and catcheth that which is sown, the birds that came down and ate up that seed. Now don't be thrown off by that description, as though the one who hears it is not responsible for his rejection of that gospel that is proclaimed. He is. She is. That Satan swoops down and catches it is explained in light of what we just said. It's the one who has no concern, no care, and rejects outright the gospel as it is proclaimed. And therefore, it is the one who has already given entrance into his heart to Satan. And so therefore, readily and quickly, as that word is sown, so to speak, he has ready entrance. And it's that which is caught by Satan and removed, and therefore to the end of no fruit. Jesus is describing here those who hear the gospel and outright reject in unbelief the word of the kingdom that is proclaimed. No fruit. In the second place, Jesus describes those who are like it being the stony ground. But he that received the seed in stony places, verse 20, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. What Jesus is describing here is what is seen at times. The word of the gospel is preached, and there's an immediate response to that word, an enthusiastic response. And the appearance in the eyes of men is that there is life there. Like that little growth because of the little dirt on top of that hard, rocky ground. But then Jesus says there's something that's going to come and expose whether or not it's genuine. And what is going to come is tribulation and persecution. We read in the book of Acts that it is through much tribulation that we enter the kingdom of heaven. To be a follower of Jesus Christ means that there will be tribulation and persecution. That is to varying degrees, depending on time and history and context, but it's there even among us. It's there among us even when to be a follower of Jesus Christ and to stand for the truth means that you're going to receive the mockery of others. When they'll look at you a certain way, when they'll say a certain thing, when you have to say, no, I'm not going to go with you and do that. No, I'm not going to work on the Lord's Day. No, I'm not going to date you. No, I'm not going to do that because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. When you say, what did you do last weekend? And you say, I went to the house of God on Sunday because it's the most important thing in my life to worship my God. There may be the looks, the sneers, and the scorns. Through hardship, we enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus says here that for some, when they hear the word of God, they receive it enthusiastically. But then the moment being a Christian means oppression and persecution, then there's the shame. Then there's the offense. And then it's done. Because there was no true root. There was no true life. Such is the reality for some who hear the word of God preached. This is one of the reasons, as a side, Paul makes very clear in his epistles to Timothy and Titus that a qualification for office bearer in the church is that one is not a novice. And the idea behind that is partly this. There needs to be a time of testing that proves the genuineness of the faith and life of God in a person. Now, this does not mean that if someone comes to faith in Jesus Christ and you see that fruit in their life, you immediately question and you look at it through the lens of this parable. No, we receive it for what we see. Jesus is simply explaining that in some instances, it's not going to be genuine for the reason described a moment ago. That's the second. The third we find in verse 22, he that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becometh unfruitful. Some are like the thorns. And the idea here is that you hear the word of God, but the thorns choke it out. It's graphic language. Language obviously arising from the story of the seed and the plants that are grown. But that which chokes it out, Jesus says, are the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. So that the idea is the word is brought, but a person is so consumed with the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches that immediately when the word is brought, it's pushed out and it's done away with because all they can see and all they think about and all their mind and heart dwells on are those two realities, the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. The cares of the world can be many things, the anxieties that man has in light of being a person in this world that has fallen. Take your pick, it can be anything. From a pandemic, to a government, to an economy, to war, to natural disasters, to your own job, to your own health. Doesn't matter what it is. All sorts of reasons for anxiety, which is why we're thrilled because we have the gospel that says, peace in this, peace in the only thing that's solid and sure, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then in addition to that, Jesus says that there are the deceitfulness of riches that are like the thorns that choke out the word of God. The pleasures of this life. The pleasures of this life coupled with the sinful nature of man that says life is about what I want to do. In rebellion against the word of God. It's the materialism. It's the vacations. It's the experiences. It's all of the things of this earth. It's the sports. It's the entertainment. It's the accumulation of wealth. All of that consumes a person so that when they hear the gospel, they want nothing to do with it because they're here and now, which alone is the fixation of their mind and heart. There's an interesting connection between these two. And the connection is that the riches are that which are used to medicate, so we can say, the fears, all of those anxieties the wicked world looks at, and even those who hear the gospel sometimes, all of those anxieties, instead of looking to the Lord Jesus Christ for their peace and hope, they turn to the riches. The more pleasures, the more materialism, the more, and this is the ideology of today, the more I live my life in fulfillment of self, I will be able to bury the anxieties of this wicked world, which is exactly why they're deceitful. Anything you look to in this world, including yourself, is one big lie and can never answer the true problem of this life. And the true problem of this life is that you are a sinner standing before a holy God. And so Jesus says, some hear the word like that, and it chokes out the word as it is proclaimed. Those three, no fruit. And in contrast to that, Jesus says, some do bear fruit. We read in verse 23, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Notice what Jesus says here, three things. He that received it into the good ground is he that heareth the word. All of them hear the word, but let's emphasize that right now. You hear the word. You're sitting under the preaching of the gospel. Understandeth it. And just as we said earlier with the wayside, understanding it not does not mean don't intellectually understand it, but don't believe it and reject it. Here, understandeth it is not just understand it intellectually, but believe it. Believe the truth of the gospel of the kingdom as it is proclaimed, and the Christ of that gospel in particular. And then, out of that beareth fruit. Out of that faith which believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, one brings forth fruit. And fruit in the scriptures we know is obedience to God, thankfulness to God in harmony with His word. Interestingly, Jesus says that not every seed is the same. Some bear 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. God has created each of His children in a certain way so that they bring forth a certain fruit. And the point here is not to say that one is deficient. They all bring forth fruit. Praise God for that. They bring forth fruit. They bring forth fruit in the capacity with which God has created them. And so for some it's 100, some it's 60, and some it's 30. But we need not be concerned about whether we are 100, 60, or 30. So quickly pride can rise up and say, I want to be a hundredfold bearer for all of the wrong reasons. What we simply take away from this is we bring forth fruit to the fullest capacity that God has given us. And whether it's 100, 60, or 30, we leave that to the Lord. But we strive to bring forth fruit in all of our life in the way that God has given us the ability and in the context in which God has placed us, whether we are a child, a young person, a man or a woman, a husband or a wife, single or married, young or old. And the fruit is to love God and to love your neighbor. The fruit is to love God as He calls you to love Him in His word and to love your neighbor as God says so in His commandments. Beloved, the deepest reason that someone will bear fruit, and the deepest reason someone will not, is because God has worked in your heart to prepare the soil of your heart to bring forth that fruit. And the moment we say that, the moment we praise God and thank God for His grace in Jesus Christ, because no man is worthy to bear fruit, and every man is worthy to be like the first three hearers of the word of the gospel. And that is because every single man is fallen in Adam, guilty in Adam, and therefore God is entirely just to meet such a man with the justice and judgment that that deserves, which is eternal condemnation. And thus, as guilty in Adam, one is responsible for hearing the word of the gospel and rejecting that gospel and rejecting the Christ of that gospel. And so immediately, as we hear this word, knowing that the natural man cannot receive the kingdom of God and the things of the kingdom of God, as 2 Corinthians teaches, immediately we praise God and we thank God that He has been pleased to work in the soil of our heart, so that when the word is brought, there is fruit. Every farmer knows you need to make the soil right, or you're not going to get fruit. And something needs to be done in the heart of man, so that when the word of the gospel is proclaimed, there is fruit. And what that is Jesus Christ Himself, by His Spirit, working in the heart of a man, the regenerating life of Himself, and in that work, uniting one to Christ Himself, Christ who is the vine, so that when the word of the gospel is proclaimed, one believes that word, and being united to the vine brings forth fruit in their life. That's why someone has ears to hear and eyes to see. And God is pleased to work His word powerfully to the end that some who hear it bear fruit and others who hear it do not. From this, we need to learn to hear this parable. We need to hear it as Jesus teaches in verse 9, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." 4 points, more briefly here, to explain what it means for us to hear this word. Number one, we hear it, and we thank God for the fruit that we see. Hear it in such a way that it leads us to thank God for the fruit that is evidenced in our own lives and in the lives of others in the Church of Jesus Christ. As I said a moment ago, it's God's work, and we praise Him for it. Number two, we hear this word in such a way that we examine our own hearts as to how we respond and receive the word of God as it is preached. I do believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, when He describes the three other soils, has a purpose in that also for those who do bring forth fruit, those who are His children, those who have had God work in their hearts and unite them to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that those who are Christ's children learn something in humility from the other three fruits, from the other three soils that He teaches us about. We don't just think about those who don't bear fruit, but also think about the fact that we have a sinful nature that at times can resemble the other three soils. And so, beloved, let us hear in that way too. We hear with thankfulness to God for the fruit that we have, but we also hear in humility, knowing that our sinful natures can be such that we sometimes resemble those other soils. And the word of response to that is, repent of that. If you look at your life right now and you resemble the other three, repent of that. Repent in humility before God and seek the grace of God and the strength of God and the help of God to hear the word, to believe that word, and to bring forth fruit. I intended to say more about this, but just very briefly, just ask the question, do we ever sometimes resemble the wayside hearer? We come to church, we hear the gospel, and we just don't care about it. Maybe we don't say, I reject it in the moment, but we don't care about it. And in the moment, we're not believing it as we are called to believe it by faith. Have we ever resembled, and do we ever resemble the stony ground here? Where, yes, we have a time of joy and we bring something forth, but the moment a time of tribulation and oppression comes, then the fruit goes away and something else happens instead of bringing forth the fruit in that moment to the glory of God. Do we ever resemble the thorny soil here, where we come to church and we hear the gospel, but the word is being choked out because all we think about are the cares of this life or the riches of this life? If that is the case right now, we repent of that, we're sorry for that, and we seek God's help so that the word is brought and we bring forth fruit. In the third place, we hear this word, understanding its main point. Its main point is that this is the effect of God's word. And we need to know that. It's a hard, sobering reality, but we need to know it. That for some who hear the word of the gospel, it's not going to result in the bearing of fruit. Does that mean that we stop preaching to them? No. Does that mean in your personal life you stop going to them, calling them to repentance? No. We continue to do that. You continue to do that. If there is one who is not bearing fruit, continue to do that as God gives you opportunity to do that, because we don't in the end know the mind of God and the will of God in election and reprobation. And we do know God uses the means of the call in the preaching and in our private life as we bring God's word to humble someone and to lead them to Jesus Christ. And so if we don't see fruit, keep preaching. Keep calling to repentance. Keep leading them to the Word of God as God gives you opportunity. But in the end, this we know in God's inscrutable wisdom is His purpose in the bringing of His Word. And it takes the grace of God to submit to that. To submit to that and to know His way is much higher than our ways. And then last, we hear this word, knowing that there is therefore power in the Word of God. And may there be power in it for us. The seed needs to be sown. It is sown. And God is teaching us in this word that it's only through the sowing of the seed that the fruit comes forth. And so, beloved, may it be the case that today, through the hearing of His Word, and as you hear it, as you understand it, you'll go forth from these doors tonight, and by God's grace, you will bring forth fruit. In this week, when you go to school, children and young people, bring forth fruit. Love God, love your neighbor. Work hard, respect your teachers. As you hear this word, bring forth fruit in your marriages and families. Love God, love your spouse, love your children, raise and nurture them. As you hear this word, bring forth fruit in your life in this world, letting your light shine. Bring forth fruit as you live by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, a faith that is strengthened through the preaching of His Word and the sowing of the seed of the gospel. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for the parables of Jesus Christ and for the truth contained therein. And we pray now that there might be fruit that comes forth from this congregation, young and old alike, in the life that we live in this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.